Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you don't smoke tobacco, do you vape? Do you Juul? It's all the rage, as you may know, and that might be a bigger problem than people first thought. Some experts claim that vaping, and including the popular vaping device called Juul, have eliminated all the risks associated with tobacco, safely preserving the pleasures of nicotine, with the potential to save millions of lives by helping smokers quit all those pollutants that go into your lungs from cigarettes. But nicotine is still addictive, and a new generation of kids is getting hooked and Juuling at all hours of the day. But if it is truly safe, or at least safer than tobacco, what's the problem? Well, Gia Tolentino, staff writer at The New Yorker, in her latest piece in the May 14th issue of the magazine, looks at the perils and possibilities associated with the rise of vaping. Hi, Gia. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And let's get some terminology straight first for the uninitiated. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between vaping more generally and Juuling specifically? Do people say Juuling as a verb?
Yeah, well, so the thing about vaping is that it's a really funny word. I mean, the word itself sounds ridiculous. And also, so you can vape weed. Like, vaping includes marijuana vapes and also nicotine vapes. Juul is the name of this brand, and it has become sort of almost category definitive, the way like Xerox and Kleenex is. Like, people use Juuling as a verb. And I think one of the reasons it's caught on is because vaping kind of sounds ridiculous.
And pods is another word here?
Yeah, so the Juul vaporizer, it has little flavored pods of nicotine liquid you can insert, and they're called pods.
And what flavors are there?
So Juul often gets written about in the media as if they are offering there are a lot of different flavors of e-cigarette liquids, like hundreds, thousands, more than you could possibly count. They come in all sorts of things. Juul actually just has 8 flavors. It's mango, mint, creme brulee, mixed fruit, a couple of tobacco flavors, menthol. That's it.
So, listeners, do you have a vaping or a Juuling story or a question for Gia Tolentino about vaping or Juuling, tobacco in particular? We'll leave marijuana in, you know, another category for another conversation. But maybe you have kids or students who you think are vaping or Juuling. Are you concerned about it? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So what's the central issue?
Well, so the campaign against smoking has been incredibly successful in many respects. Smoking rates have dropped dramatically since the 90s, or really since the 70s, with a little spike in the 90s. But it hasn't disappeared completely, and in a lot of ways, smoking has just gotten more segregated by income and education. And so in wealthy, well-educated areas, smoking is at this historical low. I think it's something like 5.5% of high school kids smoke on a daily basis, like really much lower than it's ever been. And these kids are the kids with spending money in like middle, upper middle class neighborhoods, are the ones that have had the, you know, money and freedom to pick up the Juul. So this generation of kids is vaping before they've ever smoked. So they're using this technology, which was created to, you know, get as a harm reduction tool to get people off of cigarettes. Juul created this device that's effective and does help people get off cigarettes, and it's very hard to quit cigarettes. At the same time, the device is so kind of convenient and appealing to smokers that it's also very appealing to teens who have never smoked. And that's the conundrum.
So that it might be a gateway drug, if drug is the right word, I guess we could call nicotine a drug, gateway drug to tobacco. In fact, I think I misspoke a minute ago, fell into the old habit, and I referred to vaping tobacco. It's not that. It's vaping nicotine. Is gateway drug the issue?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's always the perennial debate about correlation versus causation, right? I mean, and I personally tend to fall more on the correlation side. Like, if you're the kind of person that's likely to use one thing, I'm not, that is a worry that people, we don't, this device hasn't existed for long enough. We don't know whether kids will eventually transition back off of vaping onto combustible tobacco because they have a nicotine dependency or addiction, depending on how you want to characterize it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's also just the plain issue of, even if Juul or vaping presents, as a lot of studies have concluded, like a 95% harm reduction, it's also a nicotine habit. And nicotine is a very addictive substance. Its effects wear off very quickly. It's just the question of a new mm-hmm. habit, a new dependency.
I don't know if you've seen this, but a couple of students at Scarsdale High School were concerned about the rise of Juuling at their school. So they interviewed some fellow students and made a Juuling public service announcement that they posted to YouTube. Here's 23 seconds.
There have been times in the past where I've been Juuling during class, and I've Juuled pretty much every moment where I wasn't in class.
Sometimes during class, like, I'll leave, like, if I get really stressed, like, it's kind of like my go-to, like, I kind of need it. It's just a part of my life now that, like, I know it's bad, but I can't stop.
So if that's any indication, there's some peer concern here.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing about Juul is that, you know, it's a lot easier to smoke or to vape a pack's worth of nicotine. Like, one Juul pod is equivalent to a pack of cigarettes. It's a lot easier to go through a pod of nicotine than it is a pack of cigarettes, you know, because it doesn't hurt your throat as much. It doesn't hurt your throat. You don't smell like cigarettes. One thing that I have a lot of friends who have quit smoking and started Juuling, and most of them, I would say, have started taking in more nicotine through the Juul than with cigarettes. And you do hear this. I mean, every young person I talk to, you know, like, there's this sort of like ironic pride and horror in being a Juul fiend, and like, and they call the bathrooms the Juul rooms, and, you know, in a lot of schools, like, why is there a toilet in the Juul room? Like, that kind of thing.
Ironic pride and horror. Both.
Yeah, the kind of condition of being a teenager today, yeah.
Elle in Monroe, is it Monroe, Connecticut? Hi, Elle.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is this. I understand, like, vaping weed would get someone an immediate reaction. I mean, you get high right away. But does vaping...
Oh, sorry, you're breaking up. I think what he told our screener was, are there issues with vaping nicotine at night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure. Well, so nicotine is an interesting drug. It's a stimulant and a relaxant at the same time, you know, which is why people can, why it meets people's needs when they're anxious, and it also meets people's needs when they're tired. I do think you do feel the effect of, I mean, it's sort of the high schoolers vaping right now reminds me of something like, you know, smoking hookah, or like the little sort of quick head rush highs that teenagers like to try out. I think if you like vape a bunch at night, it'll pep you up probably a lot.
Barton in, is it Pine Beach, New Jersey?
Yeah.
You're on WNYC. Hi, Barton.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
I was calling because I took some night classes, and one of my professors at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health had actually published a number of studies which show that over time, like 20 years or so, it has the same carcinogenic effects as smoking cigarettes. And while it might not have immediate effects, there's a lot of literature out there now that shows that it can cause things like popcorn lung and a lot of other negative effects. I'm just surprised that it's not talked more about, in the media.
Familiar with any of that, Gia?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, waist deep in these studies for a couple of months, and I talked to a lot of researchers about it. And, you know, the tobacco control community is extremely split about, you know, the design of these studies and whether they actually do point to the conclusions that people say they do. You know, so there is an active debate about, you know, about that, like whether... the popcorn lung, actually, I mean, I think that is a complete misnomer. Like, there's an ingredient called diacetyl, which is used as a popcorn flavoring, which has given workers in popcorn factory this condition called bronchiolitis obliterans, which is referred to as popcorn lung. And diacetyl is also, was occasionally used in some e-cigarette flavoring, not in Juuls. It's sometimes found in e-cigarette vapor. It's also found in like 700 times more of a quantity in cigarette smoke, and cigarettes have not been linked to popcorn lung. So it's unlikely that vaping would. But, you know, these are concerns. Like, these are people, respected people in the medical community strongly disagree about this. But, I think it's reasonable for people to be extremely cautious about vaping. I mean, as the professor I talked to said, you know, cigarettes were a wolf in sheep's clothing, and we don't want to get fooled by that again. And he said vaping actually is a sheep in wolf's clothing. But I think it's reasonable to be suspicious of getting snowed again. Things like popcorn lung, people should look up those studies. I was reading through them, and I was like, there's not much reason for people to go into the experimental design if they just read a headline about popcorn lung and vaping. But if you're interested, if you're a parent, if you're worried, if you're interested in trying juuling, if you've been a smoker, like, I think it's worth really going into the studies that have led to like certain conclusions.
Mary in Westchester, you're on WNYC with Gia Tolentino from The New Yorker. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was just calling for two reasons. One, I found out that my son, who was going into the ninth grade, had been juuling. He denied it, but I actually went through his things and found it. And then I also realized that the kids throughout the high school are just regularly juuling, even in the classroom. Teachers often don't even recognize that they're juuling because the thing looks like a USB drive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So that's I'd heard that before, and I don't remember if it was in your article or somewhere else, Gia, but that these juuls are so unobtrusive that I heard, again, I'm not sure if I got this from your article or something else, but at least one place has banned flash drives?
Yeah, there are a couple of school districts that have banned flash drives. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty endemic. I talked to a sophomore in Houston who said, yeah, like, Juul's just been a part of my, I mean, yeah, she said Juul's been a part of my social life since I was in eighth grade, which is rather alarming.
And so in class, people could be doing it, and it's so unobtrusive that, and so small, like a little flash drive, that people could be vaping or juuling right
during class. Which is, of course, part of the appeal. And even adults, I mean, will juul in all sorts of places, plain bathrooms and whatever,
right,
which is not good.
Michael in Garden City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Gia. Gia, just wanted to say, first of all, love the article. Fantastic. So my question is, I'm a current college student. Lots of my friends are education majors and are student teaching right now. And in our conversations, we've noticed that a ton of teenagers are juuling, like what seems like the vast majority of it. So I was just wondering, in your research, do you find any quantifiable numbers about what the percentages are? Is it similar to what smoking cigarettes used to be? Or is it seriously this big new behemoth?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So young people historically and kind of universally overestimate the rate at which their peers are, you know, engaging in sort of party associated behaviors like drinking and smoking cigarettes and having sex and whatever. With juuling, I'm sure there is an overestimation. There was a brief sort of a slide in the CDC numbers from 2015 to 2016. Like, I think it's something like they were saying sort of 15% of the most recent figures, 15% do it on a monthly basis versus 11% trying cigarettes on a monthly basis. Anecdotally, though, most of the people I talked to, and I made sure to talk to kids from basically every region of the country and lots of cities, were saying that it's over this past school year that things have really kicked into high gear. And that sort of follows what I've been seeing on social media. And it certainly follows the local news panic, which I do think is a slightly overblown, but maybe not too much. So I think that it's my complete guess from this reporting is that sort of like a soft majority of high school students have tried it, like 60% is what I would guess, and something more like 20% do it all the time. But because of high school and because of the specific way that Juul is sort of the iconography of it exists like exclusively on social media with teens juuling for other teens, it probably seems like a 90% ubiquity, but it really is. It's a thing for I mean, it's also really limited to upper middle class neighborhoods for the most part, as of now. So it's not like this universal fad, but among the segment of teenagers that tends to warrant sort of public concern, like these wealthy teenagers, that's why it's covered so much in the news. And it's also the kids that have social media, use it all the time, et cetera.
Michael, as a current college student, do you care?
You know, I'm not a fan of nicotine or smoking. I've had plenty of family members who've been afflicted by diseases as a result of their use. But at the same time, like Gia was saying, it is technically safer right now as far as we know. So if people need a nicotine fix, I'd rather they get it from a Juul than from a cigarette. And also, Juuls don't smell terrible. So that's a nice one.
Michael, thank you very much. I see that, Gia, you went back to your alma mater, the University of Virginia, and you noticed that the old smoking spots have become pretty deserted.
Yeah, I also Juuled in the library like a college student, and it's true, it's pretty unobtrusive. It's really, I mean, I smoked cigarettes in college because it was still illegal to do so in restaurants, and I waited tables, and I would, you know, at the end of a shift, I'd have my shift beer and just start smoking at the bar while I finished it. And it's really, you know, it's dangerous. I mean, I was glad to not see people smoking during the day outside the library and like putting out cigarettes on the trash cans, like outside every academic building. I think it was nice that people have stopped doing that. It's also at the same time, like equally kind of, as I think all these college students will fully admit, it's a little like, it's absurd. It's a little worrying to just watch people like suck on electronics all day, especially because there's like such a strong performative aspect. But yeah, it's a real shift. And it's also, I mean, a lot of things have changed about the lives of young people, right? I think Juul sort of mirrors things like social media, which are sort of mindless tics, these mindless performative social tics that, you know, fit into what I say in this piece are rapidly diminishing amounts of free time. The life of a college student now is pretty different than what it was like for me 10 years ago. You know, they have their, like this girl I interviewed was like, you know, guys rep Juul in their Tinders, you know, like I get Snapchat messages, you know, it's like these things that are, it's a new kind of condition of this like digital anxious life.
I guess that's an example, because I was going to ask you for an example of what you call the performative aspect of Juul.
Oh, yeah. Well, so an account that I like, so there are these viral Juul accounts, one of which I think shut itself down the morning I published the article, but Juul is very memeable. It's like very, it's just something about it is funny. The name is funny. So it's always, you know, there are videos of teens doing Juul Wolverines where they'll stick a Juul between each finger and like Juul 5 all at once and blow out huge clouds. It's this, and that's something that you do so that someone can record it and that you can post it on your social media to be like, look, I'm funny, you know? And it's inextricably tied up. It, like that sort of memeable, ironic, quasi-cool is tied up with the Juul the same way that the sort of James Dean image was tied up with smoking, right?
And as we talk about the new, all the rage activity of Juuling, that is a brand, if you're just joining us, Juul is a brand of a vapor that people use to vape nicotine. That's just really, let's see, it would be mixing metaphors to say it's catching fire. But Jane in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
So?
So I'm currently a high school senior, and my life has definitely been changed since the Juul has come out. I myself have never tried it, but I think I'm probably one of the only people in my friend group who has never tried it. And I know parents who will actually buy their children Juul because they think that it's better than having their children go out and try, you know, drugs or go buy themselves cigarettes. And some of my friends can't go without an hour without Juuling. So we have two-hour exams, and they have to find some way to go Juul in the bathroom so that they don't get a splitting headache from nicotine withdrawal, which has definitely taken a toll on them all because they just cannot focus without it. Like, they have the normal twitches and, like, mannerisms of somebody who's having withdrawal from nicotine from smoking cigarettes. And it's genuinely very disturbing because some of them will even start, you know, if they can't find a Juul, they'll try cigars or something like that, and they'll talk about how badly their head hurt because their Juul was broken. And I find it a little bit disturbing.
Certainly disturbing, the way you describe it.
Yeah, that's something that I heard. I mean, I heard from high schoolers everywhere that it's like, yeah, you like it starts off as something that you're supposed to do sort of socially, like, haha, this is a novelty. And then, like, it definitely, I mean, nicotine is very addictive. And with the Juul, it's easy to smoke it anywhere. And so it's pretty easy to get really dependent. And I think, you know, people are talking about, you know, you can't warn teenagers against the Juul the same way that you did against cigarettes. Like, you can't say this is a product that will kill one in every two users, right? Like, you, it's like with Juul, the real thing is, like, do you want to give yourself a possible dependency so great that if you are an hour without a Juul, you will go into a full-blown freak out? Because that happens, because nicotine is addictive. And I think that that is, like, how, and I'd also heard that about parents buying their kids pods. I've also, like, high schoolers, I think, sometimes convince their parents that there's no nicotine or something like that. And I think that if I was trying to imagine being a parent of a high schooler, and it was like, the thing is, like, do not get yourself in a situation where you're going to have to go to the bathroom every hour and suck on a little thing. You know, it's not a good way to live the rest of your life. It'll be expensive and kind of embarrassing.
One more call, then we're out of time for this. Alejandro in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alejandro.
Hello, Brian. Pleasure to be on the air. I'm a longtime fan. And I'll take my answer off the air. It's regarding the comments I've been hearing about e-waste and regarding Juuls and vapes. Because I do have friends that recycle these pods, and they actually reuse them, but many get thrown out, and it's just basically more plastic in our oceans, as far as I know.
There's the route to having college students feel guilty about Juuling.
Yeah, actually, I should have written about that. Thanks, Alejandro.
So very, very interesting. All right, so we're gonna leave it there. Except tell us a little personal anecdote here, because you wrote about trying vaping yourself for the piece, which you hadn't done before, and you end the piece by describing your farewell pull.
Yeah, you know, I sort of thought it would be, I'm a smoker, and I was a smoker, and I was like, it'd be kind of funny for this piece if I, you know, ended up with sort of a teenager's habit on the Juul. But I didn't like it because, luckily, I mean, I didn't need it. I didn't have a nicotine addiction that I needed to satiate. And when I had liked cigarettes, I liked them because they felt gross and disgusting, and I knew they were bad for me, and they felt bad for me. And when I was 19, that felt great. And the Juul, it felt, it's different. It feels like a sensible enough decision if you physically need it. And I was very glad to report that it didn't appeal to me. And I think unless you're like an anxious teenager with sort of a social need and like a nervousness about your life, there's really no reason. Like, I can't imagine why anyone would want to do this if they did not have a nicotine dependency. And so I was glad to end the piece by giving it away to one of my friends who was a former chain smoker.
Headline, New Yorker staff writer stays nicotine-free. Gia Tolentino is that writer, and her latest piece in the May 14th issue of The New Yorker looks at the perils and possibilities associated with the rise of vaping and Juuling. Gia, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me. Bye.